Hello, hello, hello.
Ooh, okay.
It is.
Perfect.
Okay.
Hello. Welcome to our podcast.
Hello.
Welcome to our podcast. This is a great time.
This is a podcast.
This is a podcast.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Happy New Year, everybody.
I was going to say, I can't believe it's the new year.
I know. We are back and we're ready to get this shit going. It has been quite some time since we have last recorded.
Yeah, so. We were trying to look it up and we were like, oh, was it August? Was it September?
I feel like the last part of 2021 for me just straight up did not matter. It was a blur. And I feel like we both kind of went through a really dark time and just craziness.
I think I could give a brief like summation or synopsis of like why I kind of went dark on everything. Maybe we could each do like a 5-minute or less recap each of the last few months.
Here's what you missed in Allison's life.
Yeah. And then we've got some fun personal questions and then we've got some podcast related questions. So it'll be more structured in a few minutes, but if you've missed us, you've probably missed our beginning of the episode rambling. So this will be that. So around September, we came to Georgia and Val and I took pictures and we had dinner and it was a blast. And we had all these plans of like revamping the podcast back then. And then we got back from that vacation and my mom found out she had COVID. And so we had to like get tested and like quarantine for a couple of days before we could be tested and make sure we didn't have it. We were all good. So everything was fine. But my mom was sick for a couple of days and it was stressful. She didn't like literally nobody else she was with ever tested positive. So
well, that's good.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. She was sick for a couple of days and that was pretty stressful, obviously, just because it was the first time anybody in my like immediate family was like sick with COVID. And so we were all just worried. And then shortly after that, our car died. And so we had like an unexpected financial crisis where we had to buy a new car and all that stuff. We hadn't been planning for it or like saving specifically for it or anything. So it wiped out like anything we did have saved up, anything, you know, whatever was put towards that, which was stressful. A couple weeks after that, my beloved soul cat Bunny passed away, RIP, a week before Halloween. It was very sad. I still am tore up from the floor up about it. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, that shit doesn't go away. Like that pain doesn't go away. It just gets easier as time goes on.
Yeah.
But that's hard.
Yeah. It's like, I can't remember the exact analogy and I'm sure maybe somebody will, but when there's like grief, there's this like analogy where your emotions are like this ball inside of this box. And with time, the box like grows bigger. And so the ball isn't like bouncing and touching up against the sides of the box at all times. It only every now and again is bouncing around and hitting the side of the box, but it doesn't like hit it any less or like, you know, doesn't hit any less hard or anything like that. It just doesn't happen quite as often. And like, that's how grief is every time for me. And I guess like the last few months I've been trying to like heal my relationship with like grief in general. Like I told you this, Val, a little bit, but like, I think my whole life I've had this really terrifying relationship with death and not like you should have like a super friendly, you know, happy relationship about death. I recognize that with the amount of pets that I have and the amount of people that I love, and I just have a lot of love out there in the world, and it's probably going to get squashed a bunch of different times And I just don't want it to be earth shattering every single time anymore. And so the last few months I've been trying to do some really introspective, really like healing inner child work on like why I'm scared of death and why I'm scared of it for my loved ones. And like, that's just been real deep stuff, I guess, to have to think about and I don't know, to have on my mind. So that's kind of been what's been going on. I also got a job recently. So I'm now a preschool teacher and Laurel is going to the preschool with me. And my training and everything so far has been great. This upcoming week is my first like full week, Monday to Friday, full scheduled week. So I'm very excited. But yeah, all that stuff has just taken a lot of energy and a lot of time. So that's where I've been.
Yes. I mean, rightfully so, because, well, first off, grief is just like, I don't know the right word to describe it because it is like, so, I don't know. It like cuts deep, I guess. It's like, I don't know what word I'm trying to come up with, but yeah, I also like struggle with like, I think this book I was reading or listening to, I guess, on Audible described it as like the pain. Like, it's like, you're scared to like fully enjoy loving who you have because like, you know, that pain is going to come one day. And so like, there was like a chapter all about like the pain, like, it's like, you're so scared of that hurt. And I am terrified of it too. So I definitely think that's like a topic I want to talk about in therapy once I start going. I mean, that's just like a lot of time that you need to work on that. So
yeah, I totally agree. I think it's like not even something like I don't expect that, like, I don't expect it to even be easier. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I honestly
like afraid of it because I'm like super scared of it.
Yeah. And I don't, like you said, like there was a period of time right after Bunny passed away where I was just like looking at all my other pets, like, okay, well, now I know like how much it'll cost to cremate you because I just took one of our other pets to have that happen. And like, it just is very dark.
It is.
And my like little spiritual pagan spirit was like, there has to be, I don't know, like there just has to be something that's not, that doesn't feel like yucky, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. It's okay.
It's like that immediate shock of losing someone. And I'm not even gonna apologize for the fact that it was a pet. Yeah. Anybody that knows that that's like,
no, it's
not even an argument.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when Catsby passed away, he was like my first cat ever that was like my own. And he like tragically just randomly passed away. And he was only 2 years old. And I remember calling my mom the next morning and I was like, why did I even get a pet? Like, it just, it hurts so bad. And so I think about that moment all the time because like without Daisy, like I would hate my life.
Yeah.
So like, it totally is worth it. And like, it's just a matter of like, for me, I guess, like changing the perspective from like my selfish feelings to like, imagine like Catsby's life, although it was only 2 years, he still had like a good home. It could have been, I definitely made mistakes as a cat mom, but like, but like, I think about like how Daisy feels and like Daisy loves her damn life. And so like, when I do lose her one day, I will just like hold on to the fact that like, I provided as best of a home as I could provide for her. And that's it. Like, it was either that or like her be homeless in Athens, Georgia. So
yeah,
like compared to the latter, I guess it just makes it a little bit more worth it. But just because it's a pet doesn't mean it's like more or less painful than like a person, because we all know pets are our family. Like, pets are like our children. So
yeah. And I think it's like, no matter who it is, that initial sting, like right after you lose somebody, there's just like all this energy that you like have put into loving them that has nowhere to go, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we were still just feeding Bunny or putting food in Bunny's food bowl, like, because you just have all this energy and all this love and nowhere for it to go. And so I started trying to like channel that energy into like other things and like things that were like honoring for him. So I would like, you know, whenever I was feeling upset or wanted to feel close to him, I would like make little homemade treats for our other pets, or yeah. I would take our dogs on a walk or whatever. So I don't know. It's just been a lot to process. And of course, like going through that has brought up like a lot of my religious trauma, because anytime anybody dies, it's like, you know, that whole thing is brought up of like, well, where did they go? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember. So like when my ex-boyfriend passed away, it literally was like weeks of me thinking about that. Like I was looking for all of the signs. I was looking for like meanings behind everything. It was frustrating because I am not in like a very religious part of my life. And so it was confusing because I don't know what I believe right now. And so it was just like frustrating in a way, because it's like, I need those answers, but like, I mean, obviously we can't have that answer until like it's our time too. So like, I don't know. I see what you mean. It's like confusing and frustrating and angry.
Yeah. And it brings up like everything else, because when you're thinking about like somebody's life or somebody's death, like that's literally all encompassing thinking about like life in general. So it's just been a lot the last few months, y'all. And honestly, like the idea of recording anything and sitting down and having like a topic has felt like overwhelming, you know, because of all of that. But now I finally feel like we're a couple months removed from the situation, and we're, you know, I'm starting work, we're getting into a new routine.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel less depressed, honestly. I'm obviously less depressed because our house is like less messy, and like just all those little things where you're like, oh, I was really depressed bad, y'all.
Oh my God. But nothing like cleaning up the depression room.
Yeah. So it was good. We were honest with our families and told them like, we're too depressed to come for the holidays. And so we did Thanksgiving here by ourselves, and it was really nice. And then my parents came for Christmas, and that was really sweet of them. So, and now we're here in 2022. We're living our best lives. We're sending good vibes to Bunny in the spirit realm. And I'm really liking my new job so far. So that is my recap.
Well, there we go. Okay. So now you're caught up from the life of Allison. So what has happened in my life? Okay. So since September, I moved in with Preston and things have been going well. We have a 2-bedroom apartment, mainly because of the night shift. But I hope he's realizing too. I mean, I'm realizing like it's probably a good idea to just do that from the beginning, because it's just nice to have your space, and like, we're not up each other's butts, and we still love each other and love hanging out like in between his shifts. Like right now he's on a four day streak of working. And so like when he does come home, we like catch up real quick, and then he's like out the door again. Otherwise he's like sleeping. Anyways, things have been going good. I think we've only had like one argument, which is impressive for like a 3-month time span. I obviously had to deal with like the grief of my ex-boyfriend, my first boyfriend, to make it more like, if you are not caught up, it was like my first love, my first everything pretty much. So I have been hanging out with like people who are also dealing with the grief of the same person. So it's been nice to like connect with those people and like just kind of lean on each other. What else has happened? I feel like, oh my God, work has sucked. Basically it got to a point where I was working 3 12-hour shifts a week on top of like the other 2 normal 8-hour shifts, because half our team left and I was left working a workload of 3 people, and I still am. So that's nice. Gotta love corporate America. They just kept saying like, and it's not no fault of like my team or my boss. So that is where I have been. I just hated my life for a while. Like physically, I wasn't able to like take care of myself because of how much I was working. And so that also like put me in a tailspin of like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? Like, why am I just like working to live? Like that sucks. So it kind of made me like just not want to do anything outside of like work because obviously that was all I had time for. And while it's making me question my whole life, there was a point where like, and I'm sure Allison probably agrees, where it's like, do I even want to like restart the podcast again?
Definitely.
Yeah. Because it's like, it just is a lot. And like,
the burnout was real, y'all. Yes. And honestly, like still really is like getting back into this. We don't have like, I think when we first started this, we thought like, we're going to be good at keeping up on like double recording and planning out episode topics weeks in advance. And like, we do have expectations that we want to do that this time around, but I think we're also being realistic about like whatever is on our minds is what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
We're not going to hold back about certain things. Like we're just going to let it be what it is.
Right. Yeah. And so it was a lot of like thinking about that, like wondering, oh, is Allison going to be on board for like the same kind of vibe that I'm going for? Just, it was just like a lot. And so I've also been limiting social media because I was like, and I still do compare myself to everybody, which sucks. And this is a topic for another time, but also there's a lot of guilt when it comes to posting because of the MLM that I was in. And so I felt like there was a lot of like obligation when I'm posting and like, that's not fun. Like, why would I just like stopped posting. I stopped really going on it and I'm trying to like limit myself to an hour a day. Yes, it's not working so far, to be honest with you. Especially when I like feel that creative like energy. Mm-hmm. And so then I start posting for the podcast or like posting on my own page. So anyways, as far as taking in content, I'm really trying to like limit myself to 1 hour a day because I don't want it to like affect my life decisions anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've just been kind of like detoxing from that. So it just, I don't know. It just, I was questioning my life a little bit and I still kind of am. So we'll see where that takes me.
And I think like, you know, kind of segueing into podcast stuff a little bit, like we can obviously still talk about the personal stuff too, but segueing a little bit into the podcast stuff, it's like hard. Like I, again, like post MLM stuff, I want to make sure that I'm not like jumping from one thing that was like not good for me in retrospect to another thing that's not going to be good for me in retrospect. Like I have completely had to cut like social media off cold turkey. I still have TikTok, but I don't have it like downloaded on my phone. Like once I am done scrolling, I delete it off my phone. And then if I want to look at it, I have to go through the steps of like re-downloading that. That's
actually pretty smart.
And I do the same thing with Instagram. Like I technically still have an Instagram and I can get on it on like Safari, but I've literally gone on it to watch your stories and one of my other friends who just had a baby's stories, like literally twice since I deleted the app. So I feel like for me, Instagram, I just had to go cold turkey. Like TikTok, I can download and like undownload the app and it's like a more casual relationship, but Instagram, like I have to hardline it and be like, girl, you got to get on Safari because the website will limit what you can do.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's actually pretty smart. I just have like the limits on your iPhone, how you can be like set time limits.
Yeah. For apps.
So I did 1 hour for Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. Facebook, I really only go to like consume content that's like, I can't stop looking, but it's like a train wreck.
Yeah.
TikTok, I honestly use TikTok to search for like recipes.
Love TikTok.
Yeah. It's very educational, to be honest with you. Instagram is where I get like very comparative, and TikTok can kind of be like that too. When I see other people who are like living their best fucking life and I can't do that, it's very frustrating. But I really try to like just not consume any content on Instagram just because I was hating on myself a little too much.
Yeah. And so it's hard to both be in this place of like, we're not vibing with Instagram, but like still wanting to do podcast stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we've landed like in a few different spots with it where we both like agree it can be casual and we don't have to feel like we need to be like in the rat race so much. I think we've agreed this time around that it's more like doing the podcast is for us, and whoever finds us and wants to listen, that's like groovy. Not that that's not what it was before, but I think we were actively, especially with the Instagram, trying to like grow it more.
Right.
And I appreciate the effort, but
if we go viral for something and we go full time, I will happily quit my job.
Yeah, same. Like, no. But problem. Like,
at the same time, the realistic aspect of that happening is not very high. So we're just going to like be there when we have the energy. And if we don't have the energy, I'm sorry, we're not going to be there.
Yes. Well, do you have any personal recapping to do, or do you want me to ask my two little silly questions and then we can move on to podcast stuff?
No, I think I'm pretty much caught up.
Okay. Sorry that I cried in like the first 10 minutes, y'all. I promise we're keeping it light the rest of the time. That was just a sad thing to have to report.
In 2022, we are going to not feel bad for showing our emotions. Sorry.
Amen. I'm into that.
If you hate on crying, fuck you.
Okay. My first question. Background. These questions, everybody. Val was like, hey, do you want to each come up with a couple questions we can ask? And I was like, sure. And hers were podcast related and mine were like silly, generic, personal questions. So we were like, well, we'll do my questions during the personal portion and Val's questions during the podcast portion. So that's what's happening right now. These are my questions. What was your favorite food that you ate this holiday season? Could be Halloween, Thanksgiving, or Christmas, or New Year's?
Wow.
Since we've missed all those holidays.
I was not expecting that question. Favorite food. Okay. So this is not like a typical holiday meal. It's my birthday meal, but it happens in the holiday season. So I'm counting it.
It counts. Yeah.
My birthday dinner was always chicken and dumplings when I'm growing up.
Aww.
And I was able to get my birthday dinner this year. And I'm so happy about it. It was chicken and dumplings and then ice cream cake after.
That makes me so happy. I love that.
Yes. I went to Texas, which I like barely even posted for. It felt really nice because it just felt like nobody knew where the fuck I was. Like,
yeah, I love that.
It was so nice. And so like I posted one picture and that was like because my niece like fell asleep in my arms. And like, how can you not post that?
Yeah,
but
horrible.
Yes. So, and I tagged Texas and then I'm like, I came back and I went to get my hair done. And my hairdresser was like, wait, when did you come back? Like, I think you were there. Were you there? And I'm like, I was.
Yeah. Nobody knows where I am now. Just jet setting all over the place.
No. So yeah, I went to Texas, spent time with my family and I got my birthday dinner, chicken and dumplings. And I always wanted ice cream cake for my birthday, even though it's in December, and I was able to get it.
And it was Texas, so it was probably like warm as fuck too.
Yeah, it was. It was. Okay, and also funny story about this ice cream cake. So
what?
So we went to Texas. I was in Texas, obviously. I don't know why I said that. And so, so we wanted ice cream cake. So we go to the store and we're like, oh yeah, we'll just get it while we're there. It was a Kroger.
Yeah.
And there's no ice cream cake, none, not even a section for it. And we even asked the people and they were like,
where are the freezers? Whoa. Is this a fever dream?
Yeah. I don't, it was like very, it was very weird. So then we were like, okay, let's go to Brahms, which I don't know if you've heard of Brahms.
I've been to a Brahms before.
So it's an ice cream place / grocery store, right? So like, I swear to God, before last time I went, there was ice cream cake at Brahms.
Naturally.
Because it's an ice cream place. They had none. They didn't even have a picture of it. They didn't even have a picture of an ice cream cake. So we're like, okay, let's go to Albertsons, which if you haven't heard of Albertsons, it's also a grocery store. Similar to Publix, but not as good still. It's like a Kroger / Publix. So they had one ice cream cake.
Thank God.
One. And it was like the icing was fucked up, but we still got it because it was ice cream cake.
I mean, honey, at that point, you got the only ice cream cake in Texas. You got to take it and run.
Yes. So we literally had like a very, and it wasn't even good. It wasn't even a good ice cream cake, but I got it.
Damn. It wasn't good, but it was yours.
It was mine. Yeah. So that was my favorite meal.
I love that. Well, my favorite holiday meal was for a conventional holiday, but it was an unconventional meal. Like I said, Jason and I skipped out on Thanksgiving this year, and it was really sad for me because my family does like a big family reunion every year for Thanksgiving. We didn't do it in 2020, obviously, because of COVID. And so 2021 was like going to be the year, like everybody's back, the gang's all back together. And it was obviously going to be like Laurel's first, like one where she would know people and be excited. Yeah. So I was sad to dip out on it. And I told Jason, oh, and it was also taking place at my parents' house. So my like childhood home, which it doesn't always like, we go to different relatives' houses every year. So like, this will probably, depending on when my parents move, it'll probably be the last Thanksgiving in my childhood home. And I didn't get to be there. And like, that makes me kind of sad. Maybe not though. We might, who knows? They might not move super soon. We'll see.
Very sad.
I know, but I had all these feels and I was like, we can't eat. Like, I don't want to make turkey, like a whole turkey for me and Jason and Laurel. No. I was like, you know, that's going to make me too sad to have like all these Thanksgiving leftovers and like literally nobody in town to eat it because everybody's at my parents' house. And so we decided that we were going to do like a little, like, I don't even know if it was like Southern style, but like a crab boil, basically a crab bake. Ooh. Jason made delicious crab legs. He made like a delicious like butter marinade for them. I fucked up the sides, y'all. I made corn on the cob, which was like one of the only traditional things that we had, and mac and cheese. We had mac and cheese too, ooh, but it was like Old Bay seasoned mac and cheese. It was really good.
My mouth is watering.
Yeah. So that whole meal in general, Jason made, for those of you that don't know, he's like a craft cocktail bartender. Oh, he made house like specialty mojitos to go with everything. So we were just drinking mojitos all day. It was so much fun.
I love that. Wow.
And then my dad has like a family recipe basically for crab soup. Anytime we would have crab, he would make crab soup the next day with like the shells and like the innards that we didn't eat. So I made that the next day and it felt like just the right amount of like homey, but like it didn't make me sad because it wasn't Thanksgiving food, you know?
Right.
So that's my favorite holiday meal. I love
that. Y'all should make that like an actual tradition. That's
awesome. I know. I was like, any year that we don't do like regular Thanksgiving, we're doing crab leg Thanksgiving.
That is, I love crab legs. I wish I could have crab legs every day.
So delicious. Oh, we also made spinach and artichoke dip and I handmade flatbread crackers for it. Wow. Like pita bread crackers. Girl,
look at you. I need to send you
pictures. We did it up this year for sure.
That sounds amazing. I love that.
Okay. My second question. Do you have any like New Year's resolutions or hopes for the new year?
Okay. So resolutions, I wouldn't say that. Hopes, yes.
Great.
I'm really, so there's like a couple things that I have in my head. I haven't like made a vision board or any like written them down even. What just happened?
I'm so sorry. Is your skin just going through wine glass? I realized I dipped my hoodie strings in my wine glass. Carry on. You're sorry. Just
saving some for later.
I'm listening. Go ahead. I'm just going to take this sweatshirt off.
Okay. While Allison gets her shit together. So are you listening? You are listening, right? Okay. She just gave me a thumbs up. So yes, she's listening. Okay. So a list of things that I have in my head. Definitely there's this thing I saw on TikTok, of course, where you try this thing where you like touch things less. And by that, it means like when you try something on and you decide not to wear it instead of like placing it on your bed for later, which is like I do all the time. You go ahead and like put it back up in your closet.
Yes, I've heard of this.
Yeah. So like you just like try to touch everything once. Like you go, you use it, you put it back exactly where it went.
I think that's brilliant. The like, don't put it down, put it away type of thing.
Cause it's the same amount of time. Like, why do we do that? It's just,
I know.
Why? So anyways, I do that way too often. So I'm going to try that. I definitely want to like go back to my only drinking on Friday and Saturday nights. I have broken that because I did not drink yesterday. And we're also recording. So unless there's like an event or something, I'll just like switch it out. So like drinking twice a week max is my goal. Let's see. I definitely just want to eat healthy and like start moving my body more. And by that, I don't mean like go on a diet or like work out an hour a day or anything crazy like that. Just like simply moving more, like whether that's like cleaning or like if I haven't moved at all, like go for like a 20-minute Peloton ride at the gym, like something, like just something. So just like add more fruits and veggies in my food. What else did I have? Oh, yeah, I'm very organized, obviously. I need to go to therapy. So Preston and I have this deal with each other. Sorry, Preston, I'm airing your shit too. Before we like get engaged, we have to start going to therapy. And as individuals, like he goes and then I go.
Yeah.
Separate therapists, everything. Just because we both have a lot of like shit we need to work on as individuals before we like permanently share a life with each other, you know? So
I love that.
Yeah. So that's one that I've been working on for like a week now. I guess I have a lot. I'm like revamping my closet, like my wardrobe, because I hate my clothes. Mm-hmm. So I'm like trying to like get rid of stuff that I don't use. And that goes for like my whole life. Like if I don't use something, I want to get rid of it. But I also like want a style that I like, because I feel like I didn't have like a specific style like I used to. And like that shit makes me happy. So like, it's not just because I'm like, I want to like post aesthetic stuff. No, it's because like, I feel good when I like am in a good outfit. That's been my, like in high school, middle school, I always felt like that. So that is something I've been working on. I want to just be a better person in general. I feel like I'm not like setting any like unrealistic goals for myself this year. I just like overall want to like better my life so that like when shit does hit the fan, I'll be in a better place to handle it. And I won't be so like, but I also just like don't want to be hard on myself this year.
Yeah.
Like enjoy, like be in the moment, which I did for 2021. I like tried to live in the moment, but then like shit got hard and then I didn't want to anymore. and so I don't know. I just want to be a happier person. So that's my goal.
I feel that. I feel like mine's pretty much the same. I don't have any like specific resolutions. I just want to be better. I want to get better at routines in general this year. Like,
me too. Yeah.
I want to get on a cleaning routine and like stuff like that so that like my depression house doesn't pile up. And like when the inevitable like shit hits the fan, I like have a routine to fall back on, you know?
Yeah.
And then I also just want to read more books. Like I feel like in 2020 and 2021, I like really fell off on reading like the way I like to. I mean, honestly, even before that, but I don't know. I just feel like I really want to get back to like reading. And I feel like that goes hand in hand with having like a good routine and a good schedule, because I don't have time to sit down and read if I'm constantly just like trying to do the next thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's it for me, is like, I would like to eat healthier and I would like to do all those things, but I feel like overall, I just need to be in a better like routine and a better schedule. And then those other things will like come along.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my thing, if I could summarize all the things I'm like thinking of, I'm kind of in this place where I'm like reinventing myself.
Yes. It's that post MLM identity search. I'm going through it too. Like what you were saying about the wardrobe. I feel that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I feel like, so when I was in the MLM, obviously it was like all athletic wear because that was like my niche. I love my athletic clothes, but like when it comes to like my normal clothes, it's like, I hate it. I hate it because I spent all my money and time on something else. And I don't know. It's kind of like finding yourself again. Like as the genius Taylor Swift says it.
As our queen, our mother.
Our queen, the mother, how she says, I'm trying to be my old self again, but I'm still trying to find it. It's like after MLM, even though it's a year later now, kind of, I still like don't know who I am as a person, kind of. And like, I don't know if it's me being 27 now, or like my job overworking me, or like the MLM life. Like, I don't know what it is. This year I am like working towards like finding who that is. And so that's what I'm going to do. And oh, also I did want to talk about this on this episode and I forgot to bring it up.
Yeah.
So the sexual assault stuff, trigger warning, sorry. I always forget that. I like don't want to hide from it anymore. And I feel like that's what I've been doing. I'm kind of giving up as far as like legality goes, because I don't trust it and I don't think I'm getting anything out of it. I've emailed that person that I met up with like 6 times now since July, and I haven't heard anything. My goal for that is to work on it internally in therapy. And also I have always wanted to like write a book. I don't know if that will actually happen this year, but I definitely want to start thinking about like ways I can help outwardly without it being a legal matter, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the podcast or writing a book or coming up with some other thing, I don't know, but I do want to figure that out. So that's another aspiration of mine, I guess.
Well, I love that. I think it's good to know when it's like time to walk away and try a different avenue. And if you're there, you're there, you know?
I was ready to like try to fight the patriarchy, but to be honest, I'm not really down for that fight. Someone else, if they want to do
it. Patriarchy makes it really fucking difficult, you guys. Newsflash. Yeah.
So I'm going to help where I can. And where I can is I can like make connections and speak out about it, and whatever happens, happens, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think that moves us right along into your podcast questions.
It does, actually. Yes.
And I'm just like so proud of you, and anything you do decide to do with the podcast in that realm of like taking your control of your story back, like so excited to see what that is. I'm sure all the listeners are too.
I hope so. Okay. So my questions for you, what do you want out of the podcast this year?
Honestly, I want to feel more connected to you outside of our success aspirations. Mm-hmm. Like obviously anybody who's listening to the podcast, like probably heard our like origin story episode where we explained how we met each other, but like Val and I bonded a lot over MLM stuff and then kind of defected from that world at the same time. And so I think like this podcast helped us a lot last year become like closer as friends and as people. Uh-huh. And I think this year I would like just love to continue doing that with you, like just getting to know you more as a person. And like, there are still a lot of things we don't know about each other. Like before we started recording, I started telling you about my ex-boyfriend and like, you should probably know about my exes, you know?
Like, yeah. It's crazy because I feel like we're so close, but at the same time, like there's a lot of like stuff we don't.
Yeah. We just lived a lot of life before we came into each other's lives. So there's still a lot we don't know about each other.
Agree. I also agree. That's something I want out of this podcast too. I was thinking about that the other day, actually.
Aw.
Yes. I don't know. I just feel like we get along really well and people like listening to us get to know each other for some reason. So like, let's keep going.
I know, right? Jump on board, everybody. Well, what about you? What's your hope for the podcast for this year?
I do second your answer, but I'm back to it. I just feel like I want to be more uncomfortable, like in topics that we choose.
Me too.
Like I want to be able to relate. Oh my gosh, my Instacart people are texting me right now. Where are they shopping? It is 8:43 p.m.
As a fellow Instacart shopper, I have to say, what the fuck?
They're like, we are out of these breakfast burritos. Is there anything in this picture that you want? Sorry, I do have to answer this because
you got to get your breakfast burritos, girl.
Well, it's mainly for Preston because, like, working night shift, I don't know, there's no breakfast and burritos in the picture. Okay, so what I was saying was, it is 8:45 p.m. on a Sunday. I didn't even know Publix was still open.
Yeah, seriously, you're getting texted about breakfast burritos.
Okay, so what I want topics to, like, be more uncomfortable for us because I feel like that's what I was saying. I really want, like, people to actually relate to us, not just like a surface level. And I feel like we do get really deep in topics, but I feel like there's, like, something missing. And, like, I don't know what that something is yet, but we'll figure it out as we go. You know what I mean?
No, totally. And I think too, when we were like trying to keep up with like Instagram polls every week and like each topic had to be planned so that we could ask questions about it and we could do all of that. Like there wasn't a lot of room for us to, like when Bunny died, I couldn't get on here and just cry for an hour and 45 minutes because my cat died.
Yeah.
But like this year, if something like that happens, like instead of, I mean, I might skip that week that it happens, but instead of having it be something where I feel like I can't get back to the podcast until I'm over it, I don't want to feel like that because I'm not going to get over something like that, you know?
Yeah, so exactly.
Like, yeah, we need to be able to talk about things even when they're like inconvenient or even when they're not our planned topic, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think we can definitely like restructure our episodes and like what we're posting. And I know that we talked about it before, like me being the social media person, you being in charge of like the, what is it called again? I almost said
Peloton. Patreon.
Patreon.
Yes.
Peloton.
Yeah. We've been thinking about setting up a Patreon, everybody. We're very excited about it.
Yes. Yes. So we do have like plans that we've discussed, not necessarily set in stone, but like just like logistics plans. I think we could definitely like restructure our episodes to just be a little, I don't want to say better, but like better.
Yeah. And I think like, you know, not even better because it's not like they were bad before, but I think just like a little bit more uniquely us. Like last year, it was our first year doing it together. We were still really getting to be friends last year, like off of social media.
Yeah.
And I feel like now we're like solidified in a friendship. Like you're one of my best friends now. Like I talk to you more than I talk to a lot of people.
I agree.
So I feel like, yeah, this year, not that it'll be better because it was bad, but like better because it's just a different, we're willing to go more in depth with each other, I guess.
You watch MasterChef?
Yes.
Okay. You know how they say like elevate the dish?
Yes.
It's like elevate.
we're just gonna
elevate the podcast a little bit.
We're elevating the pod, y'all, with or without you.
And it'll be different, but it'll definitely be elevated.
Yeah. And maybe you won't get as much like social media, like planned content from us, but the stuff that you will get will be fun. Yeah. Like it won't just be a bullshit like quiz every week. It'll be like something that we've put a lot of time and energy into. You're basically getting quantity over quality, or quality over quantity, opposite. Yes. Quality over quantity.
Yeah, quality over quantity. Which is what I think everybody kind of wants. I think the pandemic kind of changed everyone's like viewpoint on social media. Like it's kind of gotten a little bit more casual.
Yeah.
There's still like things about it that like if they try to be more casual than they are, but I mean, I've definitely casualized my Instagram. And so I just feel like that kind of vibe is like what people are kind of looking for. They don't want like perfectly curated content anymore.
Me too. I totally agree. I think that's why I gravitate toward TikTok. Cause it's like, most of the people I watch on there are just like randomly shit posting. They're not like keeping up with the content schedule.
Right. And like Instagram is changing their ways too. So it'll be mainly videos on what people are looking at because they're trying to be like TikTok, you know?
Oh, everything's trying to be like TikTok. Well, did you have any other questions or was that your only question?
No, I had one more. What scares you about the podcast for this year?
I think this is going to be a really honest question and
can't wait,
or a really honest answer, I guess, to your really honest question. I honestly think because a lot of the people, not a lot, but a handful of the people who supported the podcast supported me because I was in an MLM with them. Mm. I am worried that, honestly, it's been traumatizing to realize that a lot of those people didn't care about me as a person. I have some really, like, I will shout out to a few friends right now who are like, I met through the MLM, but like are my friends, you know, like,
yeah,
we still talk, you know, some of them are still in the MLM that I was in, and there's no like animosity. There's no bad right. conversations about it, nothing. So I'm not speaking about those people. Obviously, if you're listening to this and you're somebody that I love and I talk to you, I'm not talking about you at all. Other people, but I guess it's just coming to terms with knowing that there were certain people who only cared about me because I was in an MLM with them. And like, yeah. regardless of if I really cared about them or not, they did not really care about me. So now that I'm doing this podcast, but without being an active member of the MLM, they're not going to care to catch up on these episodes, you know? So right. I think that's something that scares me about it, is just that, like, that being another portion of like leaving the MLM that I have to like get over is like, oh, some of my friends like don't care about what's going on in my life now because they weren't really my friends, you know?
Yeah.
That's my biggest fear, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that is a very, valid fear to have, because I kind of feel the same way. Like, I went from thinking these people were my best friends to knowing now that they're like Instagram friends, you know, like mm-hmm. they're just, you know, people to talk to, like respond to to stories. And sometimes they respond to mine. And there's a few that, like, I guess we were only MLM friends. So I get it.
Yeah.
So if anyone, I don't know, fuck them, if they don't support you still.
I know. Yeah.
Honestly, like, we just don't have time to worry about, like, and I'm not like invalidating your feelings, because they are
no,
valid. But like, we don't have time to like worry about people who only see you for MLM
stuff. Yeah. You know? And it's also like, I am grateful for the people who like I did meet through that experience and are still my friend, you know, that like, I don't know, it matters more to me that those people are willing to like still listen, even though I may say things that they don't like agree with about MLMs. Yeah. It means a lot to me that they're still willing to listen to it, because they care about me and they care about my opinion and they care exactly. about what I think
yeah.
and they care about my experience, you know, like, so I will say that is, it's not all like fuck that experience.
Oh yeah.
It's not
yeah.
all like that at all. It's yeah. just like, if I have to pick, honestly, like, this podcast is like a fairly, this is like a breath of fresh air for me most of the time. So there's not a lot of things to be scared about, but
right.
like,
but that
if I have to pick something, that's it, you know?
Yeah. Because we do plan on talking about like post MLM life. And I remember when I was still in the MLM, if anybody talked against it, mm-hmm. like, I was in the mindset of like, oh my God, like, how dare you say that? So yeah. like, I understand it, because I was there at one point. I was like that person. I'm also scared of that. Like, I obviously don't want people like getting their feelings hurt, because like, if you're still in it, I get why. Like, I do get it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I think you do too. And like, I don't want people to think that we are like anti MLM people.
Yeah. And I don't plan on just shit talking. Like, there are things yeah. Like, and I think when we talk about sharing like post MLM experience, that doesn't necessarily mean like anti MLM. That just means like, we were people who were in an MLM structure. Mm-hmm. We decided it wasn't for us. Here were like the experiences and the things that led up to us deciding that. So that if you're a person who's similar and who finds themselves feeling and thinking similar things, that you have that knowledge and that experience. Yeah. Like, I was listening to somebody else who was talking about their like post MLM experience, and like, whether it's anti MLM or not, you're allowed to talk about your experience. Mm-hmm. Like, only things that are like culty don't want you to talk about your experience. Right.
You yeah, exactly.
Like, if you left a job and you hated working at Target, you would tell people like, fuck working at Target. I hated that. You know?
Yes, exactly.
So I don't know. And it's not, again, it's not even like that. It's just like, we're going to talk about it because it's an experience we had. And the fact that we felt like we couldn't talk about it was a little crazy. So now we're going to talk about it.
And it also goes kind of like what we were saying earlier about like our identity. Like it really affected like who we are as people. Mm-hmm. And it still is, which is like kind of crazy to think about, but we can't like, if we don't talk about it, we're like hiding a part of like what's going on in our life, because I am still like having to recover from like dietary thoughts about myself because mm-hmm. of the MLM I was in. And like, that's like pretty bad. Mm-hmm. Like to still be thinking about like what I'm consuming on a day-to-day basis because of something I did in an MLM is like not really okay. So anyways,
and we just want to talk about things like that like aren't necessarily always talked about. I think people hear MLM things and they expect to hear like pyramid scheme and yada, yada, yada. Yeah. And like, I don't even necessarily plan on talking about things like that. Like,
no, it's not even that bothers me. There's a lot of other things about it that do.
Like we said, last year we were scared to speak on that experience. And this year we're just not. Parents. It's something that happened to both of us. We're both going through it at the same time. So it's a good time to talk about it.
I feel like we're mainly going to talk about it on a personal level rather than like researching and like going on a YouTube rant for 45 minutes about it. That's not like what we want to do. Mm-hmm. It's not the path we want to go down. So if you are still in an MLM and you're listening, like, please don't think this isn't a safe space for you, because it is.
Yeah.
We are going to be very like, and we always have, I feel like, gentle about like what we say when we're talking about that, because we know people are still in it. There's nothing against it. Like if you're still in it and it's working for you, good for you. Mm-hmm. We just want to share our experience because it's affected our personal life a lot.
Yeah. And it's just, I think, you know, like you said, I don't even think it'll be a thing where we even have like, it's not like we're going to have an episode that's like named anti-MLM or something like that.
No.
I think like, it'll be more use like
the anti-MLM hashtag or whatever. Like,
right.
That's just,
I think
like,
it'll be
too much.
Like last year, if we were talking about, like if I was talking about deconstruction last year, I would have only brought up religion because that was the only thing I was comfortable talking about, that like, yes, I have like deconstructed my beliefs and like, mm-hmm. I know what I believe and why I believe it. And like, you know, it wasn't something that was just handed on to me that I took on as a generational belief. Like I formed my belief system and I deconstructed that. And like, now I will be willing to say like, I've deconstructed like why I gravitated towards MLMs and what behaviors and what patterns I engaged in that led me into those positions. And here are the reasons that they were predatory for me and the ways that I engaged in predatory behavior when I was a part of them. Like all of those things are good to recognize, and they don't have to be like a whole episode topic. They can just be like, oh, we're talking about this thing and my experience in the MLM is relevant, and so I'm going to talk about it. I'm not going to be scared to talk about it.
And another thing, and this is something I noticed for my birthday. I hope people take this gently. People that I know personally, it was really hard to get people to come to my birthday. I like thought about it because I like one of my other friends, everybody showed up. Like we all have like this group of girls and like everyone showed up for her birthday this year. Do you know how many people out of that group showed up for mine? One. And the other, one other person actually couldn't come and she's excused. Like she actually had an excuse.
Yeah. Has a doctor.
And I really think that like me being in the MLM really pushed a lot of people away. And so like when I realized that it definitely affected like my personal relationships with people, I realized this like 2 weeks ago. Like this isn't something I've been like sitting on for a while. Like this is something that I'm like, oh my God, it really did like push people away. And so with me talking about it, like it's because I don't want that happening to anyone else. And I'll definitely like obviously cover that topic on a deeper level, but I just wanted to like put that out there because yours is very like comparative to religion and like religious beliefs and stuff like that. But like mine is more tied to like friendships and personal relationships that I cherished and loved. And now most of them are like gone. So
Yeah. So that's, you know what, everybody, we're going to be getting into some deep shit this year.
We are.
Just, Look forward to it. Don't know what else to say.
We're going to talk about some deep shit, but it's going to be good. That kind of like ties into, sorry guys. It kind of ties into my answer to this question, which is, although I want to talk about more uncomfortable topics, I'm also scared to. I don't know why. I guess it's just like, I don't want things I say to like affect relationships, which I guess goes into the MLM recovery. So I'm scared of everything I'm doing, like affecting anything. But yeah, it like scares me to talk about like more in-depth conversations, which is a good thing because it's part of what I want for it anyway. So,
but I mean, sometimes those things that we want are like the hardest things to do. Like I wanted a kid pretty bad, but like labor wasn't easy, you know.
I have a friend in labor right now and I'm so happy for her, but like I can tell that she just hates it, like the labor, the pregnancy, everything. And I'm like, I feel so bad because she obviously wants, like, she's gonna love her child, obviously. Yeah,
of course.
But like it just sucks, and like I don't understand people who loved pregnancy and loved labor. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. Like I feel like my labor was like a good experience as far as labors go. Like it was a relatively, in the grand scheme of labors, an easy labor, but that doesn't mean that I loved it. Like it was,
right. Yeah. I don't understand.
Was it a spiritual experience? Yes. Cause I was bringing another human into the world.
It's obviously like a rewarding and amazing and a miracle experience. Right.
But it's what I say that in the moment I was like, I love this. No, definitely
not. No, it's like afterwards you love your child. That's what it is. You don't love labor.
No.
Nobody loves it. That sucks.
Yeah. Holler at us if you loved labor, because we need to talk to you. We don't understand it.
We have questions.
Yeah.
Questions.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. I just feel bad for her.
Yeah. Well, I'm sending her positivity and good vibes.
Me too. I'm excited though. I've been making I've been shopping for like fabric when I'm in Texas, because I've gone there twice this year. And so I picked out all these fabrics and like I made like one or two blankets myself, and then like I didn't have time by the time I left, so I like, my mom is making all of them.
That's so sweet.
Yes, she's the best. So we went fabric shopping again and I literally didn't even make one blanket, but my mom is like making sheets and blankets and all these things.
That's so cute.
Yes, I am super excited because it, and I am officially an aunt obviously, but like my niece is in Texas, so it's really hard to like do those everyday things with her. Like I can't like go over and help. I can't like just go babysit on a whim. So I'm excited to have like a friend's baby that I can kind of channel my Auntie Val and Auntie on.
I love that. Emmy, my friend Emmy, is a wonderful like surrogate aunt to Laurel. So I'm sure you will be a wonderful surrogate aunt to this baby.
Yes, I'm very excited. I'm going to spoil him. And it's a boy. And I haven't, obviously. So it'll be a
type of spoil. You have one of each to spoil.
Exactly. Yes.
It's so sweet. Excited.
So hopefully that will happen in the next few hours. Like, God forbid.
The next 10 minutes, hopefully,
for her. It's been like a whole day now.
Like, I can't relate. Oh, that's making me sweat. Like, I can't relate to that. Oh, no. My labor was like, my water started leaking at midnight. I went to the doctor for them to like finish breaking my water at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And Laurel was born before 10 p.m. Like, it was it wasn't even 24 hours from like when my water broke to when I had Laurel. And I think I was only in active labor for like 2 hours maybe. So
I think so she was due on Christmas Eve.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And
so I think she was induced. I think, I don't know. I haven't I hope she doesn't get mad at me. She hasn't like had the chance, obviously to tell me like what happened, the whole story.
Right.
All I know is like, she went to the hospital last night. And so I'm thinking they induced him or her for him. And he just like wants to chill in there. He doesn't want to come out.
He's cozy. Yeah. My little monster, she was not even 40 full weeks. She was like 39 weeks and 4 days or something like that. And she was like ready to rock and roll. She was like, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
She said,
my mom keeps eating spicy chorizo burritos. It's time to evacuate.
She did everything. She really tried everything. And he just like is chilling.
Yikes.
Yikes.
I'm not going to lie. I had such a good, such an uneventful pregnancy and such a smooth labor. I'm not even like, sometimes I'm like, I don't even want to have a second kid because I don't want to risk having like a terrible pregnancy and like a nightmare labor. Like I had a good experience this time. Let's just be done with it.
I do remember yours being like very quick. It felt like you texted me.
I know. I thought like Jason and I like brought crafts for me to do in case I like had time between contractions. We like brought snacks to eat together. Yeah. Didn't need any of that shit. Didn't even open anything that was in that bag. I literally got to the birth center, got in the tub, and like was in the tub till I gave birth like an hour later. It was ridiculous.
There she was.
There she was. And it felt like, I'm not going to lie, it felt like 15 minutes to me. Like when we were in the birth center, we got there at like 8:30 and I didn't give birth until like 9:52, I think was the time. And it felt like 10 or 15 minutes to me. Like it did not feel like it was like an hour and a half. Like,
wow.
It was very like, oh my gosh, it's already almost 10 o'clock. It was very, felt very quick. It was weird. Giving birth is like a time warp, man. You don't know what's going on. It's just crazy.
Well, that is nice though. I'm glad that yours went smoothly. And
I know. I'm so sorry for your friend. I hope that it's over quickly and she can sign, seal, deliver it and be done. I just
want a picture of him now.
I know. And that's the hardest part. Like, even though my labor was short, I was like, I just want to see what this baby looks like already.
Yeah. And I probably won't like be able to see her for a while, obviously, because I went out for New Year's, but I do have an appointment tomorrow night to get tested. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I have my fingers crossed, but hopefully you're all good.
I just like don't want to risk giving it to my
best baby. No.
So like, I'm definitely going to like keep my distance and
for sure not.
I'll like drop off some stuff. If I'm negative, obviously I'm not going to like go touch stuff and then like give it to them. But, but like, I don't know. I just don't want to, risk it.
Well, even just like having a couple friends pitch in and like getting like an Uber Eats order is like a big deal, like I had people do that for me a couple times after I gave birth. And that was like a godsend to just have like, even if it's just coffee, it's not like a whole meal. But well, everybody, we love you. We're excited to be back doing this. That's all I have.
I don't really have much to say either. So we'll release this when I'm done editing. We don't really have a set date, so sorry.
You'll get it when you get it.
Get it when you get it. Don't forget it, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we love you all. Happy 2022. We're excited to be moving into a new year. Thanks for listening to This Is 20-Something. We have new episodes every week, and they are available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. If you'd like to show your support for this podcast, head to anchor.fm/thisis20pod and press the support icon. You can follow us on Instagram @thisis20pod And if you really love us, you'll find the nearest iPhone user and have them give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. That is where 80 to 90% of listeners in the market find new podcasts. So leaving us as many reviews and ratings as you can really does help us spread the word. See you next week.